And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we dive into the remaining teachings of the Book of Job. Oh boy. And we're reminded of the vast diversity of our Christian faith. Christianity is not merely a religion. It is a living relationship with a living God, made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is serious, interesting, full of complexities, expressive, fascinating, challenging, humbling, rewarding, and it can be described with 100 other adjectives. But Christianity is also fun because we get to explore different interpretations of certain verses. Ooh. Next, we examine two of God's greatest animals that he created on earth. These are not the two animals that reflect him the most. That would be Adam and Eve, man and woman, humankind in general. And no, there's no third gender. And if you can't count to two, then go back to kindergarten. But finally, as we examine the mighty behemoth, as well as the incredible Leviathan, we find out that there's a little bit of fun in this because they can also be known as a hippopotamus and a crocodile. Scholarly arguments revolve around how people would always interpret them, but we use the Word of God to help us understand what these animals are, and we find out might not be what some people think they are.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. How much more? Well, just remember this. It's not professional radio. It's never been professional radio, and it will never be professional radio. That just gives us lots of room, doesn't it? We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Ooh. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, I'm telling you now, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Awesome! Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing your spiritual radio family has your back. That's what you got to remember. That's a great job, brother. Great, great job. So
thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Cool. Happy Monday to you. We'll do a little bit of Jake's take in a little bit. Want to make sure we cover a couple of things first. The things that we want to cover are simply this. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Well, we read earlier today somebody sharing a testimony that we had other people praying. That is a big deal because the answers for them came in regards to their son and the situation, and the Lord blessed that situation. If you've got a prayer request, bring it. Let's bring it to the Lord. Let's submit it. Let's have faith. Let's have trust. Let's count on that God is generous, and let's combine our faith because he loves faith. If you've got a praise report, something happened, it's great, it's awesome, love it, awesome, awesome. You don't have to say it perfectly. Nobody's looking for everything to be done perfect. I have been looking for perfect, and I think the day after I said yes to Jesus, I started looking for perfect. I just said, okay, he's perfect, I'm not. Done, bye. It's just like, keep it easy. So if you got that going on, you can also share that. That's cool, too. We love it. If you've got something going on you just want to share, and it's not a complaint, but you've got something, even if it's heavy on your heart, that's cool. We'll pray. We'll ask the Lord to comfort. That's what he does. He's a God of comfort. Maybe you're just feeling like, I just really know things, Dave, and I just want to share that I know the answer to this trivia question. Well, maybe you do have the answer to this trivia question. Here it is. Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? Guess he wasn't getting ahead in life. Who was that? We're just asking. There you go. In the meantime, okay, I couldn't resist. It was impossible. He's ahead above everybody else. Anyhow, here we go. Don't get me rolling. I know
all
those.
No more jokes today. That was
okay,
it.
That was it. All right, here we go. Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? You guys should know that one. In the meanwhile, we'll do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day, spend some time with the guy in the sky. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. You have to. You just have to. Because it's what generates. It's what empowers. It's not just me praying over you. It's you spending time with the Lord. That's what counts. That's where the power is. Get that? All right. That's the D. Draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Jesus said in Luke 9:26, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I return in glory. I'm like, nope. Nobody else has a heaven to put you in. Don't do that. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. This is where the OPM comes in. Other people matter. I don't care what the culture does and people, who cares? OPM, other people matter. That's how Jesus wants us to live our lives. And when you're so wrapped up in your own life, I know you think, I got to take care of this. This is me. Me is very selfish. You got to add other people into your life so that you can really find out that that's where you'll find more life, because that's the way that God designed it. That's what's so cool. So take on the burdens of others. You laugh with them. You cry with them. You become a part of them. Your life expands. The quality of your life grows. And then we just always go into John, 13:34-35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. It's a witness. Wow. That's cool. All right? That's our DNA. Back to our trivia question. This is going to be a fun hour, I'm telling you right now. Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? There you go. Got it? Okay. So we got that rolling. Making sure everybody's on top of that. I do want to give you an update on Julianne real quickly and Easton. So they've gone through this week. So he's had the hip surgery. He's had some ups and downs. Now, the biggest thing I was very, very, very concerned about was Julianne and Jerry getting enough sleep. Because if they can't get enough sleep, they can't do mommy and daddy things for the other kids as well. So very important. And they did. I talked to her today, and they are getting plenty of sleep now. So praise the Lord. I thank every one of you for praying for them. They appreciate it. Easton's got a ways to go. He's got some things that they've got to work out, but he's doing better, going in better directions. Our big prayer now is right now they're in Nashville, but their home hospital is in Memphis. They're just asking the Lord, and the hospital's going to look into it if they can move everything from where they are in Nashville to Memphis, which is closer to where they live, and make everything easier for everybody. So that's the prayer, that God will grant them the ability to make the move. That's a big thing right there. So if you're praying for Julianne, that's the thing I'm asking you to pray. Praying that the Lord will enable them to make the move, only if it's appropriate, right? want what the Lord wants, but to make the move so that they can get closer to home. Okay? All right. Cool. Last time on the trivia question, then we're going to get into the teaching, and there's so much to cover, you might as well just smile. It's not going to hurt you anyway. You might as well smile. Who was buried in the New Testament without a head? Was it Barnabas, John the Baptist, or Paul? That's the question. Think of all of those funny jokes we've done from Austin Powers when he did that whole thing. Anyhow, in the meantime, we are into... There's only like three teachings left, I think, in Job. And then we're going to be doing Genesis. So we're going from Job to Genesis. So that's going to be cool. I want to pick this up in Job chapter 40. And we are actually at verse 13. No, I think it's verse 15. We're at verse 15. Sorry about that. And it says this. Now, I'm going to take a lot of space in this because of the different interpretations. So don't get upset if I take my time and go through this. You'll understand why. But before I even begin that scripture, somebody has called in. And so we want to give the opportunity, if they want to answer the trivia question, to let them do that. Because, and then they might just have something like a prayer request or something going on, you know, whatever the case may be. Don't forget to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6 or verse 8, one of the two, makes it clear we should be doing that. I think it's verse 6. And then don't forget Numbers 24, 9, 10, and 11, which actually it's 24, 9. Yeah, it's 24, 9. That says, bless those who bless Israel, curse those who curse Israel. It's in the scripture. You can't change it. You want to love what God loves, and you want to hate what God hates. Sorry, that's how it goes. If you don't like that, tell God you don't like his plan, and let me know how that goes. In the meantime, we do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Ken.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I've been out of town, so I've been busy, and I just ran out of time or didn't even have time to pray hard this last week, which I prayed hard this morning because I felt, busy. Anyway, so I asked your buddy Jacob over there. I said, "Well, do you know the answer to this question?" And he goes, "Well, no," and I'm like, "Get out of here." And then all of a sudden the phone goes, and then I'm like, "Am I on hold? What?" I thought he hung up on me.
That's hilarious.
So I sat there and I listened to this for a while. I'm like, going, "Well, let's see." I was tapping my toe. I'm like, "Where's Ace? Where he's due." I haven't heard from Samson for Pete's sake, and I'm like, "Why aren't these guys? They all must be out of town."
Well, we heard from Ace on Friday, so that
Friday
was good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. And then Samson called earlier today. He calls in that first half hour only. So that's his
right,
time.
Okay.
That's his time frame. So
I missed those guys, and I should have known.
That's all right. All right, brother, you ready for it? You ready to answer?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Who was buried in the New Testament without a head?
Well, it was that girl's mother that John was.
That's correct! You are right. That's right. That's right. And you can't say, although I already said it, that he was just trying to get ahead in life or any of those other things, or head above everybody else, or just trying to get to the head of the class. But all those things are facts that he was, in fact, buried without a head. That is correct.
Well, I'm thinking that they mentioned burying him without his head was, he lost his head. But I'm like, well, I guess they would bury someone without their head if they went so far as to cut it off.
In Matthew 14:15, they do mention that they took his body and buried him, and then they told Jesus. That's right. There you go.
Anyway, just tell Jacob not to hate me for being, that way.
I'll make sure to inform him that you said I should tell him that. Okay.
Yeah, and then let him also know he probably that he needs to know some of the answers to these questions. I mean, what is up with that?
Well, you're asking me. I think everybody needs to have some of the answers to the questions. It's kind of like some people are like, "Is it this?" Like, no. But that does happen. That's part of our. That's part of the growing, isn't it? Part of the learning.
Well, as you I've never missed a question, even though I got it wrong. So no, we're always right when we call, David. So that's the reassuring thing that we'll get that answer right before we get off the
that's
phone.
That's awesome. You will always get it right before you're done.
Yep.
Excellent job, brother. Excellent call.
Thanks for the show, bro.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay. Now you see, just Jacob, this is how you know you're settling in. Now you're getting the razz. Now they're giving it to you. It's over now. All right, here we go. All right, I'm going to just start this. We're only going to do about a minute and a half, then we're going to exit. So I'm just getting you prepared for this. And the reason is because there's so much here. So I just want to pick it up at verse 15 in Job 40. It says this, "Take a look at the mighty hippopotamus." Stop. Many translations say behemoth, right? Oh, I know, they made movies, Leviathan, Behemoth. Forget that right now, okay? Here's what the Lord says to Job. "I made it just as I made you. It eats grass like an ox. See its powerful loins and the muscles of its belly? Its tail is as straight as a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are tightly knit together. Its bones are tubes of bronze. Its limbs are bars of iron." It's a prime example of God's amazing handiwork. Stop right there, because that's what I'm going to stop on. I know we don't think of this, but I want to, and I want to challenge every one of you to actually think about this, okay? Animals are examples of God's handiwork. They're examples of his amazing handiwork. Now, you can get upset and say, "I think man came from ape." That's fine. If your uncle is an ape, that's fine. That might be explaining the difference between you and the other side of your family. Here's what I would say to you. I would say, look at every animal as almost as unique as every human is from one another. It's amazing. Have you ever considered the animals? Have you sat there and looked? Have you looked at a platypus? Have you looked at just like a cat and a dog and a chicken and a lamb and all of these things? We're not even talking about insects, which is a whole other weirder realm, but just look at the animals. Look at the lion. Look at the bear. It's like fascinating. They're like it's their own. So unique, so coolly designed by God because he's the creator. That just tells you how wild and insightful God is. And creative. How about an eagle that comes through? It's like, what? Look at that thing, man. That is unbelievable.
Kangaroo, those things are crazy.
Kangaroo. It's like, what are you doing? What do you mean the kid's hanging out at home? Literally, you know, that's so weird. You should take not just the moment to look at the skies, which the scripture says the skies speak to us every night. You should look at the creation around you and go, oh, who comes up with that? Thousands of species. You know who comes up with that? The same God that made you. Came up with that. Oh, that's good. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? cow punch sites. $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's cow punch sites. $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CowPunchSites.com/dad.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe. This September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready to do a few things. We're going to jump up early with Jake's take. Then we're going to do the trivia. Then we'll look about the jokes. I got one really good one. And then back to the teaching on Behemoth. But in the meantime, I do want to make sure everybody's up to date on that. Don't forget, we have tickets that we are giving away. And the only thing you have to do is know the name of the show. Okay, so that's our easy way of saying...
Tough question.
Tough question. If you want the tickets, they're yours. You just get them either by calling or by texting or by sending an email. It's for the game that is on November 10th. It's the North Texas against SMU. North Texas Mean Green against SMU. The game starts at 8 p.m. on a Friday. So make sure you understand that's on a Friday. So that'd be a week from this Friday, right? You get 4 tickets and a parking pass. If you want to go to the game, you just got to know the name of the show. That's number one. Number two, let's do Jake's take. Hi, my good friend. What's going on in the realm of sports for people in Texas?
We have a big Ranger game tonight, game 3 of the World Series. If anyone hasn't been watching, it's currently tied 1-1 in the series. Rangers won Friday, and then the Arizona came back and won Saturday. So currently tied 1-1 coming into tonight.
Amazing game, though, on Friday, right? Amazing comeback game, right? They were down in the bottom of the 8th or something, is that right?
Yeah.
And then they came back. It's like amazing, right?
Yep. They were down 2 runs, I believe. Late in that game and came back and won. And then the Saturday's game, it wasn't close. I think it was like,
9-1.
It was
a bad game.
10-2. Yeah.
I think they were really happy about the first game and then forgot, oh, we have another game. Anyway, I think the Cowboys people do like to know that the Cowboys did win, right, yesterday?
Yes.
They won?
Yes, they won by a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then your team, the Lions, They play tonight. How are you feeling about that?
Anytime the Detroit teams are on national television, I am absolutely gearing up for multiple texts and emails going, ha! Anyway, that's pretty much
what that's what happened last time. Yeah. Last time they were put on TV was, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And then we were like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. See, if I watch them, they lose. So my theory is, never mind. Okay. That's just my theory. Okay. Good job on Jake's take. You're up to date. So the game's tonight, 1-1 between the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Good to know for those that people that care. It's good to know. We give different public safety and public information announcements. For example, I can give you this phenomenal weather report. It's colder today than it was 6 weeks ago. I can't say I'm wrong. And on the road, there are vehicles.
Okay. Yep, here's a weather report.
Yeah.
Grab your jacket. It's cold.
It's cold. Okay. All right, here's your trivia question. In the pool of Bethsaida, Jesus healed a paralytic who had been sick for how long? 10 years, 8 years, or 38 years? 10 years, 8 years, or 38 years? That's the question. In the pool of Bethsaida, Jesus healed a paralytic who had been sick for how long? 10 years, 8 years, or 38 years? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. So as we move forward, we're going to go into the text. I want you to be aware that we're talking about behemoth, which is also interpreted in some translations as the hippopotamus. Is it actually a hippopotamus? I don't know. You want a real definitive answer? I don't know. Here's what I know. Here's what it says about the hippopotamus. Okay? In verse 19, after the Lord speaking, he says, the prime example of God's amazing handiwork, God talking in third person right there, by the way. So, yes, God talks in third person too. Only its creator can threaten it. The mountains offer it their best food, where all the wild animals play. It lies down under the lotus plant, hidden by the reeds. The lotus plant gives it shade among the willows besides the stream. It's not disturbed by raging rivers, not even when the swelling Jordan rushes down upon it. No one can catch it off guard or put a ring in its nose and lead it away. Now, when I start reading that part of it, I start thinking, okay, I was with the hippopotamus for most of that, but then towards the end, I start thinking, only the creator can threaten it. The Jordan River comes swimming down on it, doesn't do much. But is it, you know, this kind of animal, that kind of animal, they've come up with hippopotamus? Nah, okay. I mean, I'm not dying. That I'm not freaking out about that. Okay, I mean, I like behemoth better. Could it be a form of a hippopotamus? Sure. That's not the one that's interesting. You guys should know that. It's the next one that throws everybody for a loop. And what you're going to have as we now jump right into chapter 41 is a whole group of people saying, well, now when God's talking, he's being fanciful in his description. When at no other point has he been fanciful. And now that we're going to talk about Leviathan, or what others call a crocodile, we're going to see some different illustrations come forward. And it makes us take pause. Do you have to think it's a crocodile? Do you think Leviathan can be something else? Sure. Is it important that you agree with everybody it's a crocodile? No. Is it important that you think Behemoth is a hippopotamus? No. It's a behemoth, okay? That's what it is. That's what God really called it. Just the translations are trying to tell you what it is. That's a little light, okay? It's a behemoth. Now we're going to look at Leviathan. The problem with Leviathan is there are many descriptions in this that do not look like a crocodile. So we're going to look at that because why? Guess why? Because they don't look like a crocodile. That's why. Okay, and so instead of trying to add to it or, oh, God was being fanciful or whatever, we're just going to read it because the Word of God is its best commentator. There's no better commentator on the Word of God than the Word of God. And adding to it or trying to change it is not the goal, right? So we're going to get into that in a split second, because that's going to finish up on the how we're going to finish up on the show. But in the meantime, we're going to answer the trivia question. And the trivia question is pretty straightforward. And the question is, in the pool of Bethsaida, Jesus healed a paralytic who had been sick for how long? 10 years, 8 years, or 38 years? And the answer is 38 years. And what's important about that is, even if you've struggled with something for 38 years, you are still a candidate for healing. Get it? Okay. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is, he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kaum, Talitha kaum." And that means, "Little girl, I say unto you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, "She's dead, she's dead, she's dead." And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples along with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Tough trivia question coming up. Tough. Ready? Who were the men who greatly annoyed Paul, mentioned in the first letter to Timothy? Who were the men? Was it Barnabas and John, or was it Hymenaeus and Alexander? Who were the men that greatly annoyed Paul? And yes, Christians can get annoyed, okay? So just, I mean, Jesus was annoyed.
Oh, that doesn't seem very right.
It's very right. Who were the men who greatly annoyed Paul, mentioned in the first letter to Timothy? Was it Barnabas and John, or Hymenaeus and Alexander? Ooh, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David, at he must increase 1timothy.org. The reference point you're looking for is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. There you go. Okay? All right. In the meantime, we're going to send you back up to the website, as we often do, and encourage you to participate with us and give if you can give. If you can't give, don't. If you're not able to, great. Lord bless you. May he put you in a position to give. If you can give, give. You think, well, does it matter? Of course. Every dollar matters. Remember, the Lord was able to take two fish and five loaves and multiply it. So, of course, every little bit matters because you want them to multiply it. See how that works? All right, check it out. I'm going to give you this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. If you can give, that's awesome. Do so on the website, HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
I love that ending.
What's really funny is what we're about to teach. There's just this really weird connection to the whole thing. I'm just going to smile for that one. Here's your trivia question one more time, and then we're going to get into this teach. And the reason we're going to do it is we're going to go right into it is because I'm going to have to take two parts on this because there's no other way to do it. Who were the men that greatly annoyed Paul mentioned in 1 Timothy? It's 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 20, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. And is it Barnabas and John, or was it Hymenaeus and Alexander? So those are the questions that we're asking. There's even more choices from there, but you don't need them, so I'm not going to give them to you. Who were the men that greatly annoyed Paul? Mentioned in 1 Timothy. That's 1 Timothy 1:20. Barnabas and John, or Hymenaeus and Alexander. That's your question. And if you know, that's awesome. And if you don't know, you should learn. And then that maybe that will be something in the future you will remember. And it is important to remember that sometimes people do things that are inappropriate or annoying. It does happen. Remember? Remember when Peter said to Jesus, you know what he said to Jesus? All right. Is that just a pizza call or what do we got?
Oh, we had Ken calling in again.
Yeah. And oh, okay. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So I should say that, and that's not his fault. Every once in a while, we're supposed to tell you. You know, when you call in once, you want to keep it open for other people to call in, but I know Ken is going to get this. So Ken, you just get ready for it, because I'm going to give it to you when I give the answer, unless somebody else calls in. But thank you for calling in twice, brother. We appreciate it. That is a rule, by the way, that Don instituted for the stations. So just to let you know. Who were the men who greatly annoyed Paul, first mentioned in Timothy? Is it Barnabas and John, or is it Hymenaeus and Alexander, 1 Timothy 1:20? Get ready. You know that music we just heard? Get ready. Job chapter 41. Here we go. Can you catch a crocodile with a hook and put a nose around its jaw? Let me stop right there. The word crocodile is Leviathan. It is important to understand it is Leviathan. Because if you're the alligator crocodile guy, you seem like you can catch crocodiles and do weird things with them. So I'm thinking that's not a crocodile. Maybe it's something bigger than a crocodile, because people do catch crocodiles, you know, and they make shows about it. Okay, so can you catch a crocodile with a hook and put a nose around its jaw? Can you tie it with a rope through the nose or pierce its jaw with a spike? Wait a minute. Crocodile, yes, you can. Will it beg for mercy or implore you for pity? Will it agree to work for you? Can you make it your slave for life? Can you make it a pet like a bird or give it to your little girls to play with? Will merchants try to buy it? Will they sell it in their shops? Hold on one second. Going back to crocodiles, I'm positive that they have boots that are like that, but I'm just going to leave that there. So will they sell it in their shops? Maybe. Will a tide be hurt by darts or its head by a harpoon? If you lay a hand on it, you'll never forget the battle that follows. You will never, and you will never try it again. No, it's useless to try and capture it. The hunter who attempts it will be thrown down, and since no one dares to disturb the crocodile, who would dare to stand up to me? God's point is, if this big beast is so big and nobody's going to try and take it on, why are you taking a stand against God? So if you want to use this, are you going to face a lion face-to-face and go, come on, put him up, put him up, put up your dukes, put him up? No. Then what makes you think you can take on God? If a bear, a she-bear, who's mad, is coming at you, you're going to put up your dukes. Come on, put up your dukes. I can beat you. If you can't do that with a bear, why are you going to try and do that to the Lord? And since no one's if you can't take care of it with Leviathan, with a bear, with a lion, you can't even take on an elephant. What makes you think you can take on God? And then he says this in verse 11, who will confront me and remain safe? You know what the answer is? Nobody. Nobody. Everything under heaven is mine. I want to emphasize the tremendous strength of this animal, whose limbs are throughout our enormous frame. Who can strip off its hide, and who can penetrate the double layer of armor? Who can pry open its jaws, for its teeth are terrible. The overlapping scales on its back make a shield. They are closed together so no air can get between them. They lock together so nothing can penetrate them. Okay, now just stop. Verse 18. Here's where I have a problem with the crocodile. Ready? When it sneezes, it flashes light. Its eyes are like red of dawn. Fire and sparks leap from its mouth. Smoke streams from its nostrils like streams from a boiling pot on a fire of dry rushes. Yes, its breath will kindle coals, and flames shoot from its mouth. Okay. I am not a genius, but I will contend that does not sound like a crocodile. Okay, you say a lot of things to me, but hold on. It sneezes and flashes light. Its eyes are like the red of dawn. Fire and sparks leap from its mouth. Smoke streams from its nostrils like streams from a boiling pot. Its breath would kindle coals. The flames shoot from its mouth. Does that sound like a crocodile to you?
Sounds exactly like a crocodile.
I mean, it's like, what? Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not saying it is or isn't. But what I'm trying to say is it's laying it out. So then the argument becomes what? Then the scholars say, well, that's God talking fancifully, or he's talking symbolic or whatever. It's like, so for 40 chapters, he doesn't do that, and just now he's doing that? And I'm just like, man, I don't know. Well, what could it be? I don't know. See, I'm not willing to. Well, it's got to be a crocodile. No, it doesn't. It's Leviathan. What is that? I don't know. You know what it is? It's somebody I don't want to meet in a dark alley. That's what it is. It's something I don't want to confront face to face. It's something I don't want to say, put her up. Want to know why? It sounds scary. That's why.
I wouldn't want to do that to the crocodile either.
But. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I'm not saying that crocodiles are like you, but you got to love. I mean, I just saw something the other day on a cartoon that was making fun of him. And it's like, you know, when the guy was like, you know, the guy's like, and now we're going to challenge this crocodile, and I'm going to jump on its head, and it's going to take me for a spin. It's like, this guy made an entire show of that, and that really does not then help this passage.
Then it goes after him, and he goes, he's angry.
He's angry. I poked him in the eye. Anyhow, the point is, it sounds a lot worse. Well, it does to me. I understand people are like, well, it's got to be this. It doesn't got to be anything. How do you know what it's got to be? I don't know what it's got to be. I know this. That doesn't sound like a crocodile I know. It just doesn't. But does that mean it's not? No. Maybe the crocodiles had, you know, Bic lighters stuck in their noses back then. I don't know. But it just seems to me, and see, this is where Christianity can be fun and not bad. And people should stop going, well, you got to know exactly what this means. It's like, you don't even know exactly what you mean, let alone an animal that God is describing. How is that even? Well, that doesn't make any sense. You can't figure out tomorrow, let alone try to really understand what happened yesterday. And then the animals that God talks about, you have to understand every single nuance of it? No, you don't. This is what you know about this animal. It's big, it's bad, and you don't want to confront it. And God's going, if you can't take this on, how are you going to take me on? That's the lesson. Get that? Okay. Well, we're going to answer a trivia question, take a break, and then come back. The trivia question, who were the men that greatly annoyed Paul mentioned in 1 Timothy? And the answer is either Barnabas and John or Hymenaeus and Alexander. And the answer is Hymenaeus and Alexander. 1 Timothy 1:20, greatly annoyed Paul. There you go. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't
stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see? What? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. Here you go. I think you guys will get this. Ready? What was the cause of the prophet Jonah being swallowed by a big fish? What was the reason that the big fish went yum, 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 yum? What was the reason? Okay, he probably didn't go yum, 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 but that's not the point. Those sound effects, it takes a lot. What was the reason? And so you can kind of break this down into one, you know, you could say something funny like, well, he was trying to accommodate him so he'd have a place to stay. I'm not going to say that. Just what was the reason that the prophet Jonah was swallowed by the big fish? That's it right there. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What was the reason the prophet Jonah ended up being swallowed by a fish? Okay? All right. If you think you can reach out to us and let us know. All right. Now, want to do a quick thing on history because there's two really cool things in history we have to do. So let's do the
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right. Now, unlike most people, you know, I happen to like treats and stuff like that. I'm just a big treat guy. It's Buy a Donut Day. I mean, how can you not like a donut? Right? I mean, that's just like, is that clear as can be? You don't like donuts? You like donuts?
I wouldn't mind celebrating that later today after work.
Yeah. Now I just have this hankering for a donut. Today is National Toasted Marshmallow Day. I love toasted marshmallows. I used to love doing that as a kid. That was so much fun. And that is also Pumpkin Bread Day. And I happen to like that too. In fact, you know, that's what I like those weird things. I do.
Is that why you're excited? For the history, because it was just all food.
Yeah, wait, there's three food. Now here's three more, and they're all sports. So it's three food, three sports.
Okay. I
mean, how good is this, right? And then one radio one. See? All right. Hockey. In 1943 on this day, Gus Boder scored a goal. Listen to this. 15 seconds into his first NHL game. It's like, how could you do any better? Okay, you are now an NHL pro. You are now an NHL pro. Like, go drop the puck, and there he goes, and he scores his first game. His first 15 seconds, he's got to. Who's going to do better than that ever?
Yeah,
ever.
I think everyone around him were like, yeah, I think he's good enough to stay on the team.
Yeah, yep. He's in the game. Number two, 1974, on this day, Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. That's a big one. Number three, 2001, this day, Michael Jordan returned to the NBA after 3.5 years of retirement in baseball, and then three more championships, which tells you everybody who is the best.
Yes, it does.
That's it. 3 years out, right? Three championships. I'm going to play baseball. Okay, now I'm back. Now I'm going to win three more championships. It's over.
Right.
There's discussion's way over, right?
There's been that debate, but all know.
It's just obvious. And then finally, 1938 on this day, you know what happened? The War of the Worlds was broadcast when people thought it was a real invasion that created national panic.
That's crazy. I've read about that before. That's nuts. Like, just imagine, like, being there, like turning on the radio and then hearing that.
It's just
the panic.
It's just what's amazing to me, though, is, you know, that the power of radio and everything. And it's just like people are just like people freaking out and everything right and left. And they did this cartoon when he was – I don't know if you saw this cartoon where he's doing the War of the Worlds. And he says, War of the Worlds taking place. And then he goes, and everybody is in danger. Then he goes, especially people at the McDonald's located at this place. And so they all clear out so he can go in and eat a McDonald's. It's just so funny.
That's great.
That's classic. Anyhow, okay. Hey, I'm having fun. You might as well just smile. It's not going to change between now and then. So there's seven good ones on the history. I like that one. All right, what call was the cause of the prophet Jonah being swallowed by the big fish? That's the question. Let's finish off on Job. And it's taking us right up, by the way. We'll be right up against chapter 42. It says this. This is still speaking of Leviathan. Who I still have a hard time thinking maybe was a crocodile. It's just me. Verse 22, the tremendous strength in his neck strikes terror wherever it goes. Its flesh is hard and firm, not soft or fat. Its heart is as hard as a rod. Let's see. When it rises, the mighty are afraid, gripped by terror. No sword. See, that's the problem right there. When it rises, the mighty are afraid. How many times does a crocodile rise? Anyway. No sword can stop it, no spear, no dart, no pointed shaft. Iron is nothing but straw. Bronze is rotten wood. Arrows cannot make it flee. Stones shot from a sling are ineffective. Clubs do not do anything but make it laugh. Its belly is covered with scales, sharp as glass. They tear up the ground, drags through the mud. Crocodile, or the Leviathan, makes the water boil with its commotion. Churns the depth. The water glistens in its wake. One would think the sea has turned white. There's nothing else so fearless anywhere on the earth. Of all the creatures, it's the proudest, the king of beasts. Not the king of jungles, the king of beasts. I'm sorry, I just don't see it as a croc. I don't know, I'm just sorry. Nothing on the earth is as fearless as that. That just seems radical. It seems like it's so huge and big. Maybe some of its bones were left around. I don't know. You know, it's just enormous. What is it? I don't know. I just don't think it's a crocodile. Could it be a crocodile? Yes. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because, one, it's fun, because people get really upset about it for no reason. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But it could have been, and I like what Jeanette said, it could be like the dragon of their day or whatever. Yeah, I mean, this could be any of that. But it's fascinating to think about that it was that big, that powerful, that terrorizing that nobody could probably do a show and go, and now I'm going to poke him in the eye with this stick and see if I can get him mad. Okay, I just don't think that's happening. When you hear that description, you think, no, that would not happen. Okay, all right. Now, is that okay to do that? Sure. Because scripture is full of life. And when you go through scriptures, like everybody has to say the same thing, think the same thing. No, you don't. You might gravitate to ministries of healing or ministries of evangelism or ministries of care for people or towards the end of their life. Whatever it is, we're all different that way. God doesn't mind that. He made us that way. That's why I think it's funny. It's like Leviathan. You know, not coming to a zoo near you. That'd be the thing I would say. All right. What caused the prophet of Jonah to be swallowed by a big fish? There's a lot of really good answers on this. His rebellion, his running away, his disobedience, all of those would be correct. The fact that he was told to do one thing and went and did another, that's just it. And God said, really? You think you can get away from me? He even found a ship trying to go where he was trying to get to. And then what happened? God let him get on the ship and then went, ah, ah, ah. Because God doesn't let you get away with it for very long. Get it? All right. So he was disobedient to the Lord ultimately. Okay. Hope that was a fun show. Just to kind of cheer you up. Got a lot of intense stuff to cover this week. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.